Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you're looking for an edge, sports gambling, download the free Action Network app. Live odds and expert analysis for every game, including our next guest, Colin Wilson, who joins us every Friday at 3:30. Hello, sir. Vegas this week?
Hello. No, not in Vegas this week. Back home. A little bit less disruptive not being in a sports book and trying to handicap at the same time.
So it's actually harder to be in Vegas and handicap, huh?
It absolutely is. There's just so much noise going on. And the thing is when you get to Vegas, like when you specialize in doing just football, you usually meet up with friends that are good at hockey, friends that are good at basketball. And, and you know, you step out and you start going out of bounds. When you get to a sports book, it's like being at a circus or you want to hit everything on the board, you know, not just what you specialize in.
Does anyone like, I'm assuming you have some kids, you got some rugrats running around?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Two boys.
Is it ever odd, like, when you meet other parents and they find out that you're a professional? Like, what do you do? Well, let me tell you about handicapping in the VIG.
So my son is 13, and I went up to seventh grade today, and they had a big thing, and all the dads, like, meet me outside the classroom, and they're like, you know, tell us about the Sooners. Tell us about the Gators. Tell us about, like, guys, you can read the articles. There's articles. There's podcasts. There's plenty of stuff out there. You got to do your research like everybody else.
I would be like the greatest go with your parent to work. Like you got your kid at like a Vegas show. Like there's some showgirls around smoking some heaters. It's fantastic.
Well, if you want to stop a party, you go to any party, small party, big party, just drop that you're a professional gambler or that you actually do this for a living. And just the whole everything but looks at you.
Hey, would you... Could I suckle at your teat for like a week if I came out there? I'm serious. Like, would that be annoying or would you like to show someone the ropes of professional sports gambling?
I think people would be very surprised to find out that it's actually an immense amount of work. And before I was a professional gambler, I was a software consultant for 10, 15 years. And I worked for the biggest companies in the world. I traveled all over the United States, and I only worked 40 to 60 hours. But handicapping football and going, you know, every college football team from front to back, all 130 of them, is way more than 40 to 60 hours of work per week. People would be surprised how much in-depth it goes.
But it's fun, though.
Oh, it's the best.
It's exhilarating. I think it's exhilarating. Seriously, I do it. Like, I think it's interesting now that sports gambling is becoming more and more, it's less and less stigmatized and more legal around the country. I think it's interesting that an average Joe like me, and yeah, we do sports radio, but I'm no expert on anything. It's just, there's a lot of info out there. Like there's a lot of, like it used to be that these sharp bettors or whomever, or the Vegas, like the real insiders were all like these mythical figures that you could never touch. Now with social media,
you just gotta put the work in,
videos and with like, I just feel like it's all kind of coming above board and the average guy can get a lot of really good gambling info out there right now.
And not to like, you know, the Action Network who I work for is absolutely fantastic because we're not going to give you the narrative of, well, this team is hungover and this team's off a bye. I mean, we go into it very advanced metrics about what teams do with the rush. We call things like havoc, which is interceptions and passes defense and sacks. And we've got all kinds of great advanced terms that we like to use that are all legit. I mean, I think if you're going to handicap sports, it needs to be mathematical based.
Mm. So the old school guys, even though they may be successful at it, are not as... Well, they're just not as advanced. You wouldn't.
The best ones I've known are they are digging deep into websites like CFBstats.com, Football Outsiders. They're dumping loads and loads of data. They're putting what teams are doing on third and five on offense versus what the other team's doing on third and five on defense up against each other to try to find an edge. There is no stone that goes unturned. As to where an odds maker in Vegas generally they don't get that deep. They have a set of power ratings for every sport or for every pitcher in Major League Baseball, and they just set a line based upon that, and then they adjust depending on what happens in the game. But it's our job as a professional gambler to already know going into it that a certain pitcher is just crazy on the road good, like Mike Leake, and he's terrible at home, right? I mean, it's just there's certain things that a professional gambler has to be ahead of a bookmaker.
Interesting. Okay, so last question on that, and then we'll get to the slate this week. But you, how many bets do you place a week? Like, are you a volume guy or less volume? How do you work that?
I used to be about 30 football bets on a weekend, and I was spending X amount of dollars. And I said, you know what? I would be a lot better at this if I cut this down to about 10 or 12, maybe even 8, and I still spent the same amount of money. I just increased how much I was betting because at the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, I've thrown 70% of college football aside. Like, I know that this number is right. The market's going to go here. There's so much risk attached to a team, say like Cal, they don't have, you know, they're on their third string quarterback, the defense, you know, I mean, I've already thrown 70% of the games aside by Monday or Tuesday and focused on who's going to be the 8 to 12 where I see a real opportunity to make some money.
And you mainly just college football? I mean, just college football? Or
I do NFL. There are NFL spots that I'm very keen into. There's lots of buy low, sell high situations, as in like, the Ravens right now, I mean, this goes for this week, and the Ravens right now are just being priced way too high, and that's what happens when you make the Patriots look really bad. Houston's actually an extremely good team that is good at stopping the rush. They're going to give Lamar Jackson tons of issues, which is going to make Lamar throw, which is why I kind of favor Houston in the points, and I definitely love the over in that game.
What do you do when it's not football season?
It's really good. I actually honestly did stop a radio show about 2 weeks ago because they found out that I'm a college baseball handicapper.
Oh.
And it absolutely blew their mind. Now, it's hard to get large chunks of money down on college baseball, but I think college baseball and golf may be the softest and easiest markets to bet into.
Golf!
Because oddsmakers don't know anything about it. And you guys know my background. I graduated from Arkansas, and we go to Omaha. We're in the College Baseball World Series all the time. And college baseball is all about who can play defense and who has a stud pitcher. That's it. Everybody's got sticks. But, I mean, finding a defense in college baseball is impossible. But once you find them, you can take advantage of any book.
By the way, on behalf of everyone here in the Beaver State, thank your first baseman for dropping that pop-up and giving Oregon State a College World Series.
Guys, that was our second baseman. All right, let's get it straight. That was Casey Martin, our second baseman. And, two outs. Two strikes, two outs. That catch would have sealed the College World Series.
I can't help myself. What is it about golf?
Golf? So, you're right. I mean, I've been doing football my entire life, since my teenage years. And then about 3 years ago, I got turned on to some advanced analytics in golf, and I had no clue how easy it was to handicap it. So take, for instance, some golfers are long ball hitters. Some of them can't go tee to green very well. Some of them are great putters. Some of them, they all have different aspects to their game. And then you go to the course. It has different kinds of grass. Some have tall trees that outline the fairways. Some are wide open, like over in Europe. And then you get into their current form. And then you get into advanced stats like strokes gained, greens in regulation. Scramble percentage is my favorite. Say you shot over the green like 60 yards. Can you go up and down? Like, if you miss the hole completely, can you go up and down in two shots? That's called a scramble percentage. You put all these things together between the course type, the player form, and the advanced stats, and they'd have golf head-to-head. So they have like Tiger versus Phil, right? Well, the course and those golfers' current form may dictate one of them is going to have a huge advantage over the other.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you've blown his mind.
Because I love golf, and I like to bet golf, but I find there's so many good players, it's like really hard to, like, how do you pick between Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler? And like, when, even if you, like you're saying, you pare the stats down to the big hitters that will probably perform better on this course, how do you pick amongst them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it really, the matchups is the money. It's not really in the futures. Like, I mean, you can go and lay an 18-1 on somebody to win the Masters, but I mean, just the shot of that winning is just so hard. The money is in the matchups. Like, Bubba Watson only plays well on courses where, you know, the crowd can't get close to him, so he can't hear the gallery. He can't be yelled at because he's a mental player. It's always between the ears, and the Masters always fits lefties really well for the way that they shoot. And so that's why the Masters has always been great for Bubba. Just that kind of little inside info going along with advanced stats is just, you know, gold.
All right, Colin Wilson, Action Network. We got to get to the games here, man. Start with, yeah, I could talk to you, by the way, for days. But and by the way, I'm probably going to be blowing up your phone soon, and I am going to come down there, and I'm going to knock on your door, and you're going to have to, you know, put up with me for a week.
It's work, though. It's work, though. We got to get our hands dirty in some numbers.
I'll roll my sleeves up. Georgia, Auburn, big game of the week, number 4 at number 12. The spread is only 3. What side do you like?
I'm not going to touch this game on the spread. I'm going to play it in-game live. I'm going to play probably a second half on Georgia, and I do like, if I had to play something, I'd play Auburn first half money line. This really goes back to a couple things. Georgia's been so conservative in their offensive play calling in the first half that it's gotten them in trouble a bunch this year. I think they've been trying to find a way to get Jake Fromm throwing more on first and second down, but they just have had extremely conservative play calling. And if you look at Kirby Smart, if you look at his success rate by quarter, since 2017, he's been the number one head coach in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter in success rate on offense and defense. It's been amazing the halftime adjustments he's been able to put in. As to where Gus Malzahn, he's 11-0 in his head coaching career off of a bye. He's got a defense that's just as good as Georgia's. And there's no offensive statistic I can give you that the defense isn't better. That's how good these two defenses are. They shadow the offenses in this game. So I'm going to play this live where I think Georgia's going to be conservative, and then they're going to fire it up in the third quarter. That'll be the time to bet them. Now, if Georgia, you watch the coin flip, always pay attention to coin flip. If you have a second half bet in mind, you don't want to bet the second half line if the team that gets the ball in the second half has the last possession before the end of the second quarter. You want to live bet them before that they have those back-to-back possessions. So I'm going to be looking to bet Georgia somewhere in the middle of the second quarter or in the second half. I expect them to open it up. And at that point, it's probably when I'm going to hit over, because it's known that Gus Malzahn is going to have a trick play up his sleeve. And the special teams are fantastic on both teams.
Let's take a look at another top 25 matchup and see if you can give me a more detailed breakdown. I mean, geez, that was how about Minnesota and Iowa? You buying the Gophers? I think Iowa is actually favored in this by 3.
Yeah, this might blow people's minds, but I mean, Penn State, the one way to beat the Penn State defense is to beat them deep. They rank around 88th in defending pass explosiveness. And that was something that we knew about Minnesota, is that they could throw deep, and Tanner Morgan's been doing it all year. We just didn't know if he's going to be able to pull it off, you know, because we didn't know how real Minnesota was, considering they had a strength of schedule around 90, and they were struggling with South Dakota State. So they've proven that they can throw it deep, and they did beat Penn State, but Iowa has a much better defense against pass explosiveness. I expect that part of Minnesota's game to get shut down. Iowa's going to do enough here to get the win. Do I like taking -3 in such a low-scoring game? No, but I do think Iowa's the right side. The sharper books in Vegas actually moved this to Iowa -3.5. That tells me when they opened up limits to $100,000, they took a few of those bets. So, you know, the sharp money is definitely all there on Iowa to buy it in. I would say the public play is to bet the last thing you've seen, which is getting all that money on Minnesota.
What about Oregon laying almost 4 touchdowns against Arizona? Did they cover that?
Yeah, I said this last night. This number is way too big. I make it 19.5, and if you trust something like Bill Conley, who took his SP Plus to ESPN, he's got it at 24. So this 27.5, I think, is just something where you're betting on maybe Cristobal is watching those college football playoff standings and thinking, well, I have to run this up. I have to keep my foot on the pedal. Same thing with Utah, right? I mean, that number is a couple points too high. Do these two Pac-12 teams put in an extra touchdown, put in as many scores, go for a touchdown instead of a field goal in certain points because they want to be able to hop some of these teams in the rankings? So that's really what you're making a bet against, because there's no value in the Oregon number and there's no value in the Utah number.
Yeah, I think Utah is 21.5 over UCLA, which seems a bit high because UCLA is actually playing pretty good right now.
Yeah, absolutely, with both teams, and I think the odds makers are saying, listen, you're going to pay a tax on these two teams because the Pac-12 wants to get noticed and they want to get a team in.
What about the last other big matchup is Oklahoma and Baylor? Baylor undefeated, Oklahoma with the 1 loss. Oklahoma, I think, is laying 10.
Yeah, I just can't do it with Oklahoma, and I know. I will say that some of the people that I don't trust many people in Vegas with college football, but the ones that I do trust, they're on Oklahoma. Now, I can't do it because they are getting lackadaisical in fourth quarter. This whole defense under Alex Grinch, former Washington State defensive coordinator, went to Ohio State. I love him. He's fantastic. but he has a thing called the Speed D. And it's not really a schematic based, it's all effort based. And he's all about getting all the helmets to the football on the tackle. They haven't been sacking people. They haven't been having tackles for loss. They haven't intercepted anybody. Oklahoma's effort on defense has been pretty bad in the fourth quarter lately. So, you know, I need to see this Speed D return. I need to see the OU helmets flying around on defense, because Iowa State, you know, coming back from 14 down, Oklahoma fell asleep against Kansas State. I mean, this is a defense I can't trust with my money on double digits.
Oregon State catching points against Arizona State. You like the Beavers there?
I do, and it's like I said before, with Oregon State, if they can get manhandled in the trench, they don't have a chance to win, and I thought that was the case with Washington, but now with Arizona State, probably the most poor offensive line in the Pac-12, and you know, the defensive line isn't that much better. So I think Oregon State definitely has a shot. They're one of the most highly motivated teams to pull off some victories here and get to bowl season.
All right, two final questions. What is your biggest play of the week in college football?
Missouri. Yeah, Missouri is one you wouldn't expect. But remember, these guys can't go to a bowl. They had a bowl restriction put against them for some some nonsense you can look up on Google. But they're not going to be able to go to a bowl, but they're going to be bowl eligible. They play Florida this weekend. After this game, they have Tennessee and Arkansas left. So by far, this is the biggest game left on their schedule. They're treating it like a bowl. They're undefeated at home. They haven't lost at home in 13 months. Florida's just trying to get into their bye week next week. They're a little bit beat up. I think, you know, with the loss of Georgia, there's not really much to play for except getting into a New Year's Six. So I think the spread is too much. It's 7, 6.5. I have the power rated around 4.5, so I love Missouri.
And then the last question is for my own personal benefit. Now, I'm in a survivor pool, NFL survivor pool. I'm in the final five, and I'm on San Francisco this weekend where nobody else has San Francisco. Should I dump money on Arizona on the money line? Would you do that?
No, because, well, and I've been in your situation before, right? Like, I want to hedge my survivor pool by saying, well, at least I'll win this money. I wouldn't, because there are not many times ever that I am taking NFL double-digit favorites. And in this case, I am actually in the Super Contest Golden Vegas. I'm putting in San Francisco tonight as one of my entries. There are that many bad matchups for the Cardinals going up against the Niners. That defense of the Niners is going to shut Kyler Murray down. I'd have no problems with this whatsoever.
Okay. What if it were another team? Like, are you an advocate of hedging if it comes to that?
There's different theories to this. There's I don't know what the correct term, the PC term is, but you're a this if you hedge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what matters at the end of the Here's what matters at the end of the day. If there's money in my pocket, then I don't care what you call me, because
that's
at the end
right.
of the day, I wash my hands and I have money in my wallet.
That is right. Yeah, and you only risk whatever the entry fee was on the survivor pool. All right, sir.
That's exactly right.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.